This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
So when it comes to working with God and receiving His instructions, you can't force it. You can't put your hand down His throat and pull out the instructions. He works with His own time. And He's the boss. His silence does not mean that He doesn't hear what you are saying or that He's not willing to move. But God is very, very much inside of time. Very, very much inside of space. He knows our frailty. He knows we want it done now, but He knows why I wanted to do it at his own time. And when we let Him do it at his own time, it always works. Today, as I share with us from Scripture, how to walk with God in power in the days of His power, when you are a carrier of His power, how to walk with God. You must learn that this speaks highly to the fruits of the Spirit. It shows the delicate balance between what we can do with the power of God and what God wants us to do with His power. So oftentimes we will assume that because we have received power, we can do whatever we wanted. Remember when John came to Jesus and he said, "What? The Samaritans didn't let you enter their city. Let us call down fire on them and destroy them." He was talking about power, the use of power. Wanted to use power the way Elijah used power. He wanted to use power to bulldoze his way into the consciousness of people. He wanted to use power to enforce the will of Jesus, especially because those people were covenant breakers. Jesus Christ had sent his disciples to all the cities to tell them that he would be coming, and those people knew he was coming. Only for Jesus to travel all the way and get there, and then at the city gate, they said, "You cannot enter." So John and one other disciple, the one that went there to speak with them, John was like, "Why did you make us come this far?" Because every city in Israel had elders at the city gate who allow certain things to happen. They are the ones that inspect goods, they allow goods, and when you discuss marriages, when you discuss land issues. So like Boaz went to the city gates, all the cities in Israel have elders who sort out matters at the city gates. And so if Jesus were to enter any city, if anybody will conduct any business in any city, you will have gone to seek the permission of the elders at the city gates before you can do that. And these people already said Jesus will come. And then Jesus got there and they said he couldn't enter. So John said, "Let us call down fire on their head." Remember what Jesus Christ told them? Jesus Christ said that you know not what manner of spirit you are. And just left the place peaceably and quietly without destroying anybody. That is power, but that's also restraint. That is restraint. That is having the power to destroy, but being humble enough not to. Being humble enough, being tempered enough not to. not to act according to your emotion or act according to your pain or lash out, what they call lashing out, or transforming aggression. When somebody has offended you, and then you put pepper in everybody's eyes. And there's a saying in Yoruba language, they talk about some people who can't control their anger, and when they want to talk about them, they call them the one who fights one person and pokes his hand in everybody's eyes. Thank you, one person, but to fight everybody. And that is unrestrained anger. When a man is powerful, the wisdom is that he or she knows that that power has given him advantage. But of what use will be your advantage if there is nobody to talk to, nobody to do business with, nobody to live with? You know, you are powerful. So you kill all your neighbors because you are powerful. Okay, so who will you be talking to? When you want to do wedding, who will be your father? Who will be your mother? If you say all your family members are witches, father, kill them, kill them. If they die truly, if they die, please, when they want to do investigation into your family, maybe you want your child to marry or you want to marry, and they say, oh, let's go and search. Who would they ask? Who would they ask about you? Who would you sell goods and services to? Who would do the shoemaker? Who would do the driver? Who would be your, if you kill everybody, who would you relate with? So a lot of times when we pray and people pray certain prayers, it shows their inability to think. That's why yesterday I said it is best to convert your enemies to friends than to wish them evil. And it is easy to convert your enemies to friends. You have the power in such a way that they cannot harm you. So if they can't harm you, you have become immune to whatever shenanigans they have, then you show them the more better way. You show them the better way, the more excellent way. You have to be deliberate about it. So they would abandon their old ways. The way Africans abandoned the traditional way and began to follow white men, it was because of the superiority of the white men's technology, advancement, and other things. That was why everybody would leave the obsolete, the old, and follow the new if they can prove that the new is better. Somebody that is a traditional idol worshiper, for example, can hold on to it for so long until he or she gets sick. I've seen it several times. When somebody will say, I can never accept Jesus, I can never serve the Lord, I can never do this. And then the woman got sick, very sick. And they had to rush out to Baptist Hospital. When she was at Baptist Hospital, they were trying to do many things for her. Yeah, she was still very sick, almost dead. Then somebody called me and said, America, can you come? There's a woman, she's a whatever. And when I got there, I started laughing. I told her, I said, here you are. Your idol did not build the hospital. You are already in a Christian hospital. But you are saying you cannot worship Jesus. You are lying on a Christian bed, receiving treatment from a Christian doctor, eating and drinking Christian food, basically abandoned by your God. All your idols have abandoned you. They didn't heal you. You are in pain. It is Christian medicine that is helping you. All the things here, if you didn't build this Baptist Hospital, you will not be here. And so all you have to do next is accept that, hey, my God that I used to serve is inferior. Doesn't need a lot of preaching. All the evidence was right before her eyes. She just began to cry. And she began to say, I just wonder we didn't discuss it like this. You abandoned me. I was looking at her, she was saying it to you, but I was looking at her. When I allowed that lament for some time, I went back to her, I said, it is either of two. I am willing to pay hospital bill. I'm willing to clear off all your debts. I'm willing to pay for all the things you need to be better. And I'm also willing to pray for you. But I will not waste my money. I don't do it. I will not give you all that resources so that you go back to idolatry. So are you accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior or not? I didn't preach a persuasive word. She had already said, I've already spoken to her. You're bothered with that. See, you don't have any God that is effective yet. My God is superior to yours times 1 million. It's my God that is delivering you in your day of trouble. And yet, you are the one afflicting people. But my God, whose children you are afflicting, made this hospital possible. So, do you want Jesus or not? She willingly accepted Jesus. All whatever. As our children and just the children went home to destroy all our shrine and everything. They didn't even allow her to go back to that house to continue. Everything they could find, they burned them. Since she said she accepted Jesus, and she became a member of the Baptist Church. And they began to teach her how to be a Christian, how to be direct. And she's still alive today, she's doing well. But this is my point. That is better than to kill her. That is the essence of the Christian faith. Reconciliation. Bringing those who are under offense into right relationship with God, showing them through superior power that there is a God that is willing to save them. There is a God that is willing to deliver them. This is the true essence of Christianity. But you cannot do that from a weak position. That is key. It is peace through strength. Peace through strength. Peace through strength. You cannot be poor and be telling like rich man and Lazarus. Imagine that Lazarus was saved in quote. According to how the Bible told the story, Lazarus still had a bit of righteousness, even if it doesn't qualify him for heaven, qualified him for Abraham's bosom. He had it in him. He was close to the rich man, eating at the rich man's table, but it was difficult for him to tell the rich man the truth. You can't tell the rich man the truth when you are poor. You can't. The Bible said that the borrower will always be the slave of the lender. It doesn't matter. The Bible says there was a man that was poor, and that the man rescued the whole city. But that they didn't remember him, they abandoned him after. And the reason is simple. There is nothing to celebrate in failure of poverty. There is nothing to celebrate in weakness. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You want to bring people into the knowledge of Christ, you have to be successful. It goes without saying. When I see some Christians saying that God is also the God of the poor, I agree. But God came to the life of the poor so that he can make the poor rich. He came to the life of the weak so that he can make the weak strong. He came to the life of the sick so that he can bring the sick into wholeness and health. It is wrong for God to come into the poor man's life and for the poor man's life to remain poor. Then God has made no difference. It is wrong for a man to be run away from witches. Run to Christians, become born again, start speaking in tongues, and then the man is still running. Ah. When will he not stop running? I understand where you run. I remember a young man read that to me from me, but he was in Lagos. He said, oh, the father was an occultic man, that the father wanted to use his destiny, that only God knows. I ran away from him because in the middle of the night, the father called him, cut some part of his hair. And the father put it somewhere, and then the father wanted to make him mad because the father was trying to use his destiny to make money. And he discovered, and he ran away from home, and he moved to Lagos, began working, began making some money, But things were very difficult. And then he met me and told the story. And I said, okay, I can deliver you from this in 2 minutes. He said, how? I said, okay. You accept just as well as you. He said, you already accepted. I said, okay. Are you praying in tongues yet? He said, yes. I said, so why are you still lamenting? Why are you still telling this story like this? He said, he doesn't understand. I said, look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was an enemy of the church, persecuting the Christian. Then he met Jesus. And then did you notice that the story after that, he began to talk about the express he was doing for Jesus. He began to build a new history for himself. But here you are. You've been born again for 2-3 years. You are speaking in tongues, full of the Holy Spirit. But yet your history remains the same. The story you told when you joined the church, you see the story you are telling 3 years after you have joined the church. My father is supporting. He wanted you to make money. I said, so have you done anything about this since then? He said, no, I'm money from him. I said, you are not a Christian yet. You're not a Christian yet. He said, I'm a Christian. If you are a Christian, you will have gone home. So my father will kill me. Then, no, he cannot kill you. He doesn't have power again to kill you. You have transited out of darkness into the light. So he does that. But if you are convinced he can kill you, then he will die and kill you. But the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there should be a conviction that comes into you. Suddenly you will say, ah, hallelujah, come on, I'm going on. I'm telling you, nobody needs to talk to you. Nobody. You will just know it. You will just know it. But if there is no consciousness of that, and you are going home, you are afraid, you are shaking, and your hands are shaking, your legs are shaking. Hey, if I get there, my father will kill me. Then surely you are not a Christian. Because the evidence of being a Christian, I cannot see it. But he said, you give your life to Christ. He said, yes. He said, you are full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, yes. I said, so how can somebody that is full of the Holy Spirit be afraid of any occultic spirit? I've never been afraid of anything. I'm not saying it. I'm telling you before God that I have no fear of anything. Of anything, of anybody. If anybody decides that, hey, I want to make trouble for JSW, I promise you, I'm going to sleep. I'm guaranteed, not fighting, not argument, it is guaranteed that I'll meet the person in tatters. There is a cornerstone that has been set. The scripture says so. He said, there's a stone of offense. He said, if the stone collides with you, you are in trouble. He said, if you collide with the stone, you are in trouble. Can you see now? It's scripture. He said, I understand. When the Bible says, every living stone, I know I am a stone. I'm a stone. I'm a precious stone of Zion. And the Bible has already confirmed that those of us who are not Jews, that we are stones of righteousness. So anyway, if I am a stone indeed, and the Bible says concerning the chief cornerstone, that there is a stone that has been set. He said, God set it. God deliberately set it. That if you offend it, you are the one in trouble. If it offends you, you are the one in trouble. You can't escape. Either way, the stone will survive. You are the one that will be ground to powder. It's in the Bible. So when I read it for the first time and I came to understand it, I realized that, okay, nobody can harm me. No demon can touch me. No man can. Everybody is afraid. They surely must be afraid of me. Because I'm a stone that has been set so that if you did it deliberately, or you did it unknowingly, you will carry injury. If you collide with me unknowingly, you will carry injury. If you collide with me deliberately, you will carry injury. I have a stone! So I have that conviction. And therefore, you will never see me saying, oh, everybody that wants to, who shall lay a charge against the elect? To my own master I rise, to my own master. I do not have any master outside of Christ. So I'm convinced that it is to my own master I will give account. The devil cannot come in to come and give account. He's not my master. And no human being can come in to come and give account. They were not there the day Jesus called me. Nobody.
I will give account to my God. So that's how I conduct my life. It's one of the reasons why when people put their mouth to my matter, I slap it back hard without any second thought. Because if you allow them to put their mouth, they will begin to think that you are accountable to them. You are not accountable to them. You are accountable to your own master. To his own master, he rises or he falls. That's scripture. So that everybody should mind their business. I mind my business around every other person's issues. Even be born again Christians, and you will not see me putting their mouths in their matter anyhow. Because I understand that they have an audience of one. I am just a spectator in their matter. I do not invest in it in such a way that I cannot call them and say, come and tell me, well, how did this happen? I will never do it. Even for those who are raised in ministry, I can check with all of them. I understand what Christianity is. I understand the journey is individualistic by nature, and I understand the tremendous power it has to change the world, even through just one man. But there is a consciousness that comes with it. I was able to minister. This would be about 6 years ago. We got there on Sunday morning to minister. And right in front, there was this girl, young lady, just sitting down. Looking, you know, when they see somebody is committing looking, I wasn't even sure she was listening to my teaching or sermon. Her eyes were fastened on me from the beginning of my arrival till I came down from the altar. It wasn't a lustful look. It was a pleading look. It was a save me look. You know, when somebody is looking at you, the person is, you can see the expression of their face is save me, help me. So when service was over, I called her forward. I said, she'll come. I said, what is the matter? She said, I'm a witch. I'm a witch. Myself and my mates, there are five of us, we came to disturb this service. But when you arrived, the other four left. They went to sit outside. They're outside. I'm supposed to go outside with them because when we go to a church, they want to disturb their service. And we see that the person that came is really anointed. We usually avoid the church. We will leave so that we will not start confessing and misbehaving. But I just told myself that I want to become born again. I want to be free. I don't want to be with them anymore. I don't want to be with them anymore. I want to give my life to Jesus. And I don't want them to kill me. I don't want them to have power to do anything to me. So please, that's why I came. But they are outside now. After this service, I don't know what they will do to me. I said, oh, come on. There's nothing they can do to you anymore. You are going to be translated out of darkness into light. Translation means they are going to be under your feet and you are going to be in Zion. Nobody can touch you anymore. You don't need any special prayer. You don't need any special fasting, but you need to know it. If you don't know it, you will be thinking they can hurt you. So you have fear. Because you have fear, then they can hurt you. But if you know it, you will be as bold as a lion. You will come down, you will come out, and they will run. The same way they run from me, they will run from you. So I explained to her in 10 minutes. I said, see, I will pray with you, pray with the Holy Ghost, you will become a Christian. After you become a Christian, you will pray in tongues for a while. You will notice there is a welling inside of your tongue. You will notice it. When you begin to pray, you will notice the way it is coming up. It will be coming up. It will be coming up. Allow that welling to well, to rise until your whole body is hot. After that, no. That's why I told her. No. Know that. That is the evidence that you have a power in you now that nobody in this world can overcome. So what did I say? He said, that is the evidence that I have a power in me now that nobody in this world can overcome. I said, yes. I said, if I don't tell you like that, if you don't feel the power again, and you go out, you'll be walking, you'll be afraid, you'll be looking right and left. When you hear a bird singing in the tree, you will think they've come for you. I don't want you to have that consciousness. You have been taken out of their realm. Then I told her, I said, what class are you? just finished SS3. She's going to for admission into the university. I said, okay, have you seen the Atlas before? She said, yes. I said, what is the shape of the world? She said, it is spherical. I said, Washiri, you see, where is the world located? She said, in space. I said, ah, you are sharp. Now, what do we call space? She said, oh, darkness is everywhere. I said, thank you. I said, so you see that darkness that's everywhere? Under it is where witches are. See, where the witches are is also under the earth. She said, yes. And can you see that there is space there for them to fly? She said, yes. I said, so when you guys fly, that's where you fly. You fly under the earth. You are under the earth. You fly in the space under the earth. When we ascend into the spiritual space above the earth. I said, so where you, their frequency is very low. I'm taking it to a place of high frequency. So when the witches say we fly, people are thinking they are flying in the sky. I say, no, it's because you don't understand spiritual things. They are flying under the earth. They fly under. They cannot fly above. They cannot ascend. They are descending spirits. So she said, wow. I said, yes. I said, that's why when they see people crash, they will see you on the floor. They don't see you in the heaven falling. They just see you on the floor somewhere. You will be on the floor somewhere. They now see their stoning witches that it was flying and now crashed. I said, it's why it's, your crashing is always on the floor. We never see you falling from heaven. Uh-huh. I said, that's why. Because your own atmosphere is under the earth, where you operate from. You are cast there. All evil spirits are cast there by God when Lucifer tried to take his battle to heaven. And when I explained to her, told, and she got it. Prayed with her, filled out with the Holy Ghost. Everything I did with her, maybe 30 minutes. And after that, I said, now go outside and call me your friends. I'm telling you. Said, I said, go and tell them. I said, they should come now or they will die. I didn't want to be the one. I wanted that to be the one to go and call them, to do it, to establish territory, to establish authority. And they were sitting in front of the church. There was this soak away, three or four, that were very heavy, or maybe they were water reservoir, I'm not sure. Either water reservoir or soak away. But they were in front of that church and they were very big. So the friends were sitting on top of it. And she went up and said, now the guys call all of you. They followed her. They followed her shaking. And she stood beside me. I said, I bought them for you. Ha! With all confidence. I said, you are going to be the one to pray for them. You are going to be the one to fill them with the Holy Ghost. She said, me? I said, yes. You will cast out the spirit, you give them communion. You fill them with the Holy Ghost. You have become a senior citizen of heaven like me. That's how to be a Christian. You are those. These are your first converts, not my converts. Your converts, and those are witches. Those are witches, and she brought them into the light because it is peace through strength. The power of God that God gave us has given us the advantage of strength. Of the overcoming power. That's why he said we are overcomers. We have overcome the world. So we have the advantage. So that's why we don't need to say people should die. People should bury. Oh, back to say that. All those nonsense thinking. Thinking like in the putans or your giants. That's why those prayers are severely, severely bad. Bad for the Christian. Because it shows that they didn't know in their heart who they are. The devil is always afraid of Christians who know who they are. And the devil is always taking advantage of Christians who do not know their identity is key. Knowing who you are. Knowing who you are. And so this then gives us the power to control narratives, to set situations and determine tomorrow. To determine what can happen to nations and what cannot happen to nations. To determine who our allies are and who are not our allies. In the early church, there are people that are Christians, but that are enemies of Apostle Paul. And in the early church, there are people that are Christians, that are his friends. And you won't know why. It is human nature. I told you yesterday, the weak will band together if they sense that somebody who is also a Christian is a threat. They do it also in churches. People gang up against a pastor, gang up against somebody, and they said, This is not the proof that they are your enemies. It is an acknowledgement of the power of God in your life. I cannot go to any church where they will not gang up against me. Is it possible? Because if I come to your church, your pastor will be doing homily or preaching. I will be healing the sick. Before you know it, half of the church will be coming to me. Before you know it, if I spend 6 months in your church, your pastor will feel so threatened. Either I will chase you out of church, or you will resign. That's the truth. When I was a normal church member, that's my life. Any church I go to, if you make the mistake of allowing me to begin to minister, before a week or two, you will feel it. Because after service, everybody will say, want to say, well, I mean, they used to allow me to do extra service after service. I'm not the pastor. Pastor will go home. People will be waiting to say, well, I mean, after service, when I was in the normal church. Because I have the power of God, and I want to be a blessing to the people of God. And the people of God are in churches. I cannot go to church and mind my business. No. I went to a church, the church I was attending at Ogunju, 2017, 2018. I went there as an ordinary guy who just wants to serve God. Even though I had been a pastor before, I resigned, I became a PA, and then I began to attend one church just so that I can have fellowship. And I'll just sit down. People will be teaching, doing all this. I just sit down, I just listen to them. But one day, somebody was teaching from the school. The person said, Lord of hosts means that God hosts parties in heaven. And that's why they call him Lord of hosts. And I was like, ah, this is from the school teacher now. See the kind of thing she's teaching people. So I lifted up my hand and I said, hey, no. Show that the scriptures that's something of Lord of hosts. It means the host of angel armies. I explained to her that she should look at other scriptural interpretations. If she sees a particular term she doesn't understand, find another interpretation on your phone so that you can get what it means. Don't say things like this. At another time, somebody was teaching and the person said, what is the big deal about faith? What's the big deal about grace? We sat in Sunday school. So what's the big deal about grace? Grace is simply if God wants it. If God wants it, you know, if you want to travel to Lagos, if God wills it, if you want to travel to Lagos, you say, Palavinga, I want to go to Lagos. So by God's grace, it means if God wants it to happen. That's why so why are people saying there's the one doctrine of grace? Well, I was like, my God, what? If I keep quiet in this kind of church, God will be angry with me. People don't know anything. They don't even understand scripture, and they are the teachers. So then I corrected that person too. I had to explain to him what the grace of God means. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So I explained to him what the grace is and what the love is. For God so loved the world, that is the love. The grace that was extended to bring the sinner into the light, that was the grace. And the fellowship is what he gave to the saints. And then I had to explain it. I took time. Everybody started clapping because these are new things to them. I said that. So the pastor came to me and said that you have to be a teacher. You can't just sit down. See what I have to work with. Even if you are not in church, these are the people that you are calling our A teachers. See the way you explain these things. So I have to become a teacher among them. And from a teacher, within a few weeks, I became a minister. And then they had a crusade. I was the main crusader. Unless you know, the W that was hiding was out. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. You will say, I'm not going to go there and keep a low profile. It is when the spirit to them expose your profile as high because he knows that he has put in you grace. But you cannot then go about making enemies with the power you have. You have strength. You are anointed. You are an ambassador of Christ. an ambassador of reconciliation, not an ambassador of war. Your duty is to bring men and women into the knowledge of Christ using the divine gift of the Holy Spirit as your guide. And you must do this deliberately. As a Christian, you must be deliberate about this. That's why I encourage us to pray in tongues and not pray in understanding. Because when you pray in understanding, you tend to focus on what you don't have, in the limitations of the flesh. You would think that if you have those things, suddenly your joy will be full. No, earthly things do not make your joy full. It's the truth. I want this car, bought it. I want that car, bought it. Want this car, bought it. Want that car, bought it. If you buy 100, there will still be more that you want to buy. That's the truth. If you build the house, you still want to build more. There is nothing you have that satisfies. There's nothing. So I want to pay school fees. I still pay school fees this time. In 3 months time, you can now. One day you finish paying. That's the truth. You finish paying. You know, you graduate from the university. You are done. Done, done, done. And then your children start having children. And then they begin to cope with life. And if you are not so rich, but you now, you have money, you don't be thinking, see the kind of school they put my grandchildren. You are done with school fees, so you are supposed to be dancing and be happy. You just say, children, my children, come, bring your grandchildren. See, the school you are putting these children, I don't like it. I want them to go to O&A Montessori. After that, you cannot afford it, don't worry, I'll be paying. Have you spoiled grandparents? Have you spoiled grandparents? That after they finish paying school fees, and they are supposed to be free, they are supposed to get on the yacht or the boat cruise or travel abroad. They couldn't take their eyes off the burdens of their children. They are still contributing. They are still giving their children are working. The children will be broke. That they are broke. They will still send 500,000, save 1 million. In this life, that is what life is. That's the truth. So when we then pray, Father, give me shoe, give me school, give me spoon, give me garlic, it shows absolutely that we do not understand who we are in Christ. That when we pray in the Spirit, the way you should pray, then you can then call those things and say, thank you, Father. I received my supplies for today. This amount is paid. I do that all the time. Do that all the time. Send bills. I just say, in the name of Jesus, you're sorted, you're sorted, you're sorted, you're sorted. Thank you, Father. I need this, I need this. But there are days that before I even begin to pray, I will not know that the resources were already on hand. I will have started paying you. Then the Lord will say, stop. I've already sorted it out. And then I'll take my phone and I'll see that I'll be sorted. I'll say, oh, come on. Sorry. Then I'll move on to other things. Because we have strength now. We are not weak. The body of Christ is strong. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We are the most dynamic set of people on the earth. We are what we will call Homo Christos, Christ kind. We are not mere men. And that is his strength. That is what we are trying to sell to the world. We are trying to make them like us. Apostle Paul said, I wish that all men will be like me. That was what he said. He wanted to sell his image, the true image of Christ. That is in him. He wanted everybody to have it. He didn't want to kill people. He wanted them to have it, to become converted like him. The more like us we have, the better the world will be. But not by killing the others. If it is so simple as to kill the others, a lot of Christians have done great things. They've invented a lot of bombs and all these things. You know, blown a lot of people to bits and doing commitment of who can kill them all. But that wasn't the kingdom we received. On the night Jesus was killed, he told the disciples to go and get swords. They got swords. So if the kingdom we received was the kingdom of sword, Jesus said, go and get. The Bible said they went to get swords. They went to get everything. They were willing to defend him with weapons. And then when push came to shove, one of them cut somebody's ear off and just told them, hey, I wanted you to bring the sword for demonstration, like I used to teach you last lesson. I didn't intend for you to use it. And then they took the air and they put it back. Everybody sat down. And then they willingly followed them. It was peace through strength. Power does not give us aggression, does not make us ride roughshod over others, does not make us become bullies, does not make us determined to take what does not belong to us, like Ahab and Jezebel did to Naboth. They had power and see how they used it. We do not use our power to offend. We do not use our power to offend. We use our power to uphold the tenets of the gospel and then to draw those who would be our enemies into friendship. As the brother, Brother Shogo, that's his name, the lecturer at Jabu University, Joseph Ayobalo University, was a lecturer there, that university. And he came to see me in Lagos. We came, we prayed together on some issues he had. And then he went back to school to lecture. And as he was going, he saw this young man called Solomon. Solomon and his mother were going to one of the prayer mountains, one of the popular prayer mountains in Osun State, to pray. Why? Solomon was 16 years old. He had a problem with his stomach. It was a protruding tummy, very big. And they've gone to hospitals, they couldn't find what was wrong. So this brother saw them struggling because the guy couldn't climb the mountain because of the pain of the tummy. And the mother was weeping beside them. So the brother said, let me give you somebody's number. So if you can call him, it will be of help. So I received their call. The woman told me the problem. By the time they called, they've already gone up to the mountain top. I said, Solomon, how old are you? He said, 16. Can you speak English? He said, no. Can you speak your own language? I said, okay. Say after me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I open up my body to the invasion of the Holy Ghost. Every cell, every part of my body, hear the word of the Lord, receive the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. As soon as we finished praying, Solomon was speaking in tongues. I told the mother, I said, tell him to run to the toilet now. He will mess you up there. Tell him to run to the toilet. The mother said, my toilet. He spoke in tongues and ran to the toilet. Vomited all sorts. Defecated all sorts. Came out of that place, healed. It was a phone call. I was in Lagos. It was in Osun State. Healed completely. Was a beautiful testimony. 3 days later, I was going to Super Savers to buy something. I drove. I got to Super Savers. There are supposed to be 8 spaces for cars to park. 7 were taken, 1 was free. I wanted to park into that one. I saw these 3 girls. See, when I call them girls, believe me, they are girls. Girls with you are wearing jeans and spaghetti, and you know, they are not educated, but they are, you know, when people are not very educated, dressed. So that was, you would have seen it from their dressing that they are trying to copy this. I wanted to park, so I pressed the one. Papa. They stood there at the parking lot. They folded their hands as if we had a fight, as if we were having a fight. I didn't know them from anywhere. Also, it was the attitude. So I parked my car. They walked into Super Savers. I walked into Super Savers. As I was buying, I saw them. One was standing to the right, one was standing there. They were giving me bad eye. They were giving me psh, 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 mouth. They were, you would think, like, as if I knew them. I didn't know them. I was like, what's this? I was like, okay, I left Super Servers. I got in my car. I drove to the petrol station on Lumumba Street, close to Lumumba Street. That was maybe 5 minutes drive. And when I got to the petrol station, there they were again. There were there, three of them. Still, as I wanted to go into the petrol station, I saw the three of them standing, looking and giving me bad eye. I was like, how did these girls, how did they move so quickly? I drove and maybe they took a bike. You know, I didn't, I was like, did I do anything to these girls? Let me check who is Abby. It's one of them, one of my exes. Maybe she went to tell her friend to come and beat me up. I didn't even know them. And they were giving me bad attitude. Okay. Again, I bought the phone I wanted to buy. I got to my car, drove to Magodo where my office was. I got to Magodo, I got to my office, I couldn't see them. Okay. Thank God. I forgot about them. Went upstairs, walked. And it was 2 o'clock, I'm there to eat. Left my office, drove to my grandma's inside my good room. As soon as I parked in front of my grandma's, I saw the three of them again. By this time, I realized that something was definitely going on. I came there, I saw the three of them. So I again started in the place where I wanted to park. So I'm like, what are these girls? What? By that time, I was spooked. And then when I get spooked, I get offense. I get on the offense. So now people will say, flee or fear. I don't flee. If there is trouble, I face it. I don't turn my back to trouble. It's not in my nature. I'm a Christian. And when you look at the weapons of our warfare, there's nothing to call your back. It's always your fault. So I don't turn away from trouble. I will face it. I always face trouble dead on. So when I saw them this time, I was like, came out of my car, locked the car, went to my girl, bought my food, sat down, ate. When I was coming out, one of them came to meet me. See, hey, finally, they wanted to talk. You are the one that, I said, what? And they were speaking Yoruba. You are the one that set free somebody that retired. I said, I didn't know, are you husband? Are you tired? What are you saying? Said one of them, that Solomon insulted her with her barrenness. I wanted to teach Solomon the lesson. But did you know? They were talking to me, they couldn't touch me. I mean, you know, they were talking to me and they kept their distance. But they are not shouting because they didn't want people to hear the conversation. So I was standing in front of my car and two of them were to my right. One was on my left, and this one will talk, but they were careful to stay out of my arm's reach. So I didn't know. They were careful. So when I want to talk to them, they would move backward. When I face right, the one on the left to come close. When I face left, the one on the right to come close. But they never allowed the space between us to be farther than a arm's length. Then in the course of the conversation, one of them now said, and who gave you the power? Where did you get it? So I wanted to react. I wanted to say, Jesus gave me the power. So I reached out and touched that one. Just one of them that I touched. One. When I touched her, she just put her 2 hands on her head. Hey! She just started going away. Was walking away. The other two stayed. But she was just going away. Ha! Ha! I didn't know. No, I was still. I didn't understand the spiritual implication of anything. I didn't know. And so then there's nothing they could do. The boy has offended them. They have punished him, has set him free. They need to accept Jesus. They said, they turned it into what you might call a boo. So they insulted me a little. Especially after their friend had left, and then they followed their friend. So I took my car, drove back to our office, told all the friends in my office the story. I said, come and see drama. I felt like I was in a Yoruba movie today. So I was telling everybody what happened. I got to my forearm. What happened? The one I touched had died. So, you know, they projected out of their bodies. So they projected out of their bodies. So the witches, some of them can do that. They can project out of their bodies to seem as if they were carrying normal flesh, but you are not really carrying normal flesh. So by the time they will go back into their bodies, the one I touched, that body refused to connect. So she couldn't come out of it. The other two called me straight. I said, you have been want to accept Jesus? You want to accept Jesus? I started laughing. I said, so it was this easy. So it was this, if I know, I would have told the three of you, but thank God I didn't kill the other two. Both of them are good Christians now. In fact, let me speak more. But they are good Christians now. Yeah. Once in a while, when their ministries, because they don't have ministries, when their ministries are facing any kind of challenge, they reach out to me. What am I saying to you? That you shouldn't be afraid of nothing. You are the one with the power now. God did not give this power to the enemy. He gave this power to the church. Acts chapter 2, he gave it to the disciples. So you have the power now. And the power you have has given you an edge. It is not a weakness. You are not a weakling. It is the power of God. That is where you are now. So this is how you must think, your mindset. Nobody can touch me. So I am the one that has the strength to broker peace and to bring people into Christ. That is the true gospel. It's time to give our offering. Glory to God. For all the wonderful things he has done among us, this is an offering of thanksgiving. For those giving thanks to God, for all the wonderful things we are experiencing, really thank God. I really bless the Lord. Today's service, for example, the first testimony that came in was from a family. The wife wrote to me, was talking about her husband and children and how God opened the way for them to all receive American visas, employment from the US, everything sorted. It blew my mind. It was the first. And after that, others began to come in, breakthrough from other countries. And that's what I was talking about using the power of God the right way. Not saying, oh, I know what to do. No, letting him instruct. So there are times when you can't use his power against him. You can use his power to establish yourself, but you must allow his instructions to help you move to the next level. I've learned a new thing about nations today. And so on Friday, for example, we have Night of Glory. Invite all those who are from other nations, who are having challenges in other nations. When I say invite people, I'm not asking you to invite them so that they can give us offering, please. When I say invite people, it is because I want to demonstrate, I want to put the power of God to work. And I don't want anybody to say to me, but I think I'm having this problem. I'm not saying to the person, but we had this program last week. Why didn't you join? I don't want that. So I'm saying that if anybody, you have anybody abroad and all that, exalted mountains, that's the thing. But we are going to address the gates of nations one more time. We've done it today during the prophetic service. We'll do it again on Friday. And this time we'll do it properly. I will give out the scriptures to ministers so that we'll have enough time. And then all the prophecies will go forth. Issues will be addressed. I will begin to celebrate the testimonies as they come forth. Once you have learned something from the Holy Spirit, once he has given you the raw code, you can then elaborate it and make it work the way it should. Thank you, Father, for your children. Thank you for, they have learned a lot in this month. The month of June is almost over. We have built upon the things we know before. We have also learned new things and we are growing in grace every day. Thank you for the joy that you have set before us, for the grace that is at work in us. Thank you for blessing our food and water. Thank you because all your children have thought of you and great our peace. Thank you. As a ministry, as a church, as a people, we thank you. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you because even though the nations are rumbling and roaring, you are the God in the midst of it all. You determine the fate of all of us. Blessed be your holy name. Glory, honor, and adoration to your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Bless somebody who is blessed. Shout, glory!
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 We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.